Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
So we will now continue moving through how Solomon is doing this experiment to show us what really matters in our lives. Welcome back to Defined by Moments. If you were here for us as we started with chapter 2, we went through a litany of items that Solomon attempted to show that treasures, trinkets, and triumph, those were the things that bring satisfaction. That's what brings happiness in life. And ultimately, his conclusion was, well, it's all vanity. So as he looked at all of these other things, verse 12, we see a little bit of change from Solomon. We start to get a hint of what the real answer is. We know what that answer is because I've started to give that to you. But he starts to turn his own attention in that direction. Look at verse 12. He says, "So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what already has been done." You know, whereas this previous section focused on all the things he tried, this gets internal. This is no longer focusing on the external things. He becomes a little bit more pensive. He becomes a little bit more reflective. I mean, note that first phrase, "So I turned." This aspect of turning means literally what it says, to turn away, as if preparing a house. So it's bringing change. So you think about that. If we are going to turn a room and get it ready for someone else, I mean, what do? You pretty much change everything that is in there. But he also goes on, he goes, "I've turned to do what? To consider, to put in sight, to acquire a target, to focus deeply upon this thing." You know, if we consider these two together, we see that Solomon is changing direction and is now focusing on himself. He's focusing on this internal aspect. He's asking, what truly is the best approach? Is it to go out in a blaze of glory? Or is it to live a more reserved, a more reflective, a more simple life? Verse 13, he goes, "Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness." At this moment, you can stand up and applaud because Solomon goes, yes, there is a right answer. You know, what can the man do after the king? Well, only what's been done before. But, there is more gain in wisdom than living a life of folly. He says, what you have here is if you live in the light, if you walk where you can see things, guess what? You're not going to stumble around in the darkness. There's gain. There's profit. There's lasting benefit to live a more wise life. You know, he is really pointing here that it must be real wisdom, that it must be light. You know, this isn't just something that's, oh, well, it's my personal wisdom. No, Jesus said he is the light of the world. This is important. Because Solomon is starting to give us this glimpse that you can almost hear him going, yeah, mm-hmm. It's better to live a life of wisdom than in folly. And you can see him with his arms crossed, maybe his chin in his hand as he is going, I lived a life of folly, and it brought me nothing. If I had just lived the life of wisdom, it would have been so much better. You can see that reflective aspect, and then he continues in verse 14, the wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Now, this is kind of strange, but what's really being said here is the eyes are in the head, but the eyes are open. And what do we need in order to see? Light. You know, I'm getting older to the point that when I am not in a good light setting, I need reading glasses. You know, my eyes are not what they used to be, but we need light in order to see. You know, it's a word picture here of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is living in light. While the fool, who doesn't want to be in the light, shuts his eyes, covers them up with his hands, and refuses to see. you know, if I were here in the room with you, I would have you stand up. I would have you close your eyes. I would turn the light out, and then I would rearrange the room and tell you to walk towards me. Well, we know what would happen. You're going to stumble over something. You're going to fall, right? That's what Solomon says the fool does. The fool closes his eyes and stumbles rather than using, you know, the light and the wisdom that we have. So we are at this grand moment. We are at this pinnacle of Solomon about to turn the corner and say, this is the way that we need to live, and I'm going to expound upon it. And then he concludes verse 14 by saying, and yet I perceive that the same event happens to all of us. The close, our fate, our destiny is death. A wise life, just like a foolish life, does not give us mortality. Excuse me, it doesn't give us immortality. We are going to live a limited number of days. It's like, man, he brought us to the conclusion. Why did he back off this? Well, look at verse 16. Or verse 15, he says, then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? Now hold on, time out. Let's evaluate the question that he just asked. Why then have I been so very wise? Has Solomon lived a life of wisdom? The answer to that is no. So right now he's doing a little bit of deflection. He's not really owning the fact that he did not live a wise life. But then he says, and I said in my heart, this also is vanity. This is a dark turn that he has taken. Look at verse 16. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies, just like the fool. So Solomon is almost to this cusp, and then he comes right back around to it. What he's doing is he is hammering home his thesis. He is not allowing you to escape the fact that when we talk about living a wise life, it's not the wise life under the sun that matters. We will see that very clearly later, but that's what he is doing. He's going, if the same happens to the both, then this is a hard question for us to answer. Why do I need to live to be a wise life? Well, let me answer that for you. Let's say that you put all your money in the bank. What is that? Vanity. Well, what if you spend all your money, but you die with both toys? What is that? It's vanity. Well, what if you live a frivolous life where you spend everything you can just to live like your neighbors? It's vanity. What if you decide, you know what, I'm going to do good things for other people at my own expense? What is that? Vanity. And then finally, what if you acquire the greatest amount of factual knowledge? You go on Jeopardy, you set a new record for the most consecutive wins and the most amount of money won. What is that? Vanity. He says that all of this is vanity. Now notice how he wraps this up in verse 17. So, because, here's my conclusion. I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after the wind. Now let's dig in right here. What he is saying is that he hated life. This aspect of life, or hating life, doesn't mean I'm going to go commit suicide. This is not one that we should encourage others, if you're in despair, go commit suicide. No, 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 no. What Solomon is saying here, he says, this aspect of I hate life, the imagery is you have an enemy. You have a foe that you are constantly fighting against. If you look at the context of his father David, that constant enemy, the one that was always there, was the Philistines. And it was frustrating. They were annoying. It bothered you, but you had to deal with it. That's the image that he is presenting. I hated life. I had to deal with the fact that everything I tried did not satisfy. Why? Because what was done under the sun was grievous to me. There's the phrasing. It's done under the sun. Solomon is laying out. He's laying out, if you live for the here and now, you're not going to be satisfied. You can almost imagine, like I said earlier, of him dictating this out with his arms crossed, his chin in his hand. And at this point, he can almost be remorseful of, you know, I'm seeing the error of the ways that I have lived. You can almost hear the tinge of regret here that he wishes he could turn back time. And he wishes that he could change some things. But he can't. For all is vanity. All is a striving after the wind. It's empty. You can't hold on to it. So in other words, a life under the sun means that that kind of life leads to distress and to misery as your expectations are not being met. It takes it even further to where life is disappointing. It's not sweet. It's stomach turning, not satisfying. Solomon gives us a not so great picture here. But let me give you a wonderful image here. If you've ever seen an ice sculpture, or if you have ever been to a sand castle competition, you know, you will have these people that will spend hours fabricating these tremendous sand sculptures, or they'll be making these ice sculptures. And what happens? I may pay someone thousands of dollars to craft this flying Pegasus out of ice. Well, I don't want it to stay in the freezer. I spent money for that. I want that ice sculpture to be displayed for others. And what happens? When it gets out of that freezer, it begins to melt. So I have pretty much spent a significant amount of money for nothing, because it's going to melt and become water. If you go to these sand sculpture competitions, what happens? They build it. You know, they cordon it off so that people can't go in there and disrupt it. But eventually, the wind is going to blow the sand away, or the rain is going to fall and wash it away. So the people that may be paid admission to be able to go see these sculptures, what do? They threw that money away for something that is gone in no time. That is the imagery that Solomon is laying out for us. Yes, it is better to live a wise life than one filled with folly. But if all you do is live a wise life for the roughly 78 years that you will exist on this earth, then your life is not wise. The hard part in this section is that we want joy, but we don't want to go to Jesus to get it. We want happiness, but yet we harbor hatred in our heart for the Creator and the Redeemer of the universe. We want fulfillment, and we think we'll find it in things, but we come to understand that they all fail. We decide that we want progress, yet we turn away from providence. Solomon, in looking back over his life, says, "All is vanity, and I wish I could go back and make a change." My friend, you have the opportunity, wherever you are, in whatever status of your life you may be, whether you're 80, whether you're 40, whether you're 20, whether you're a teenager, you can change today so that you do not live a life under the sun. That's what I would encourage you to do. And if you are wrestling with this topic right now, go straight to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Read these last 14 verses and see how he lays out his conclusion of what matters most about life. It's not life under the sun. It's loving the one who is above the sun. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back with us in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.